Hi there. I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is. Thank you for joining me today from wherever you are and by however you listen, as we meet together coast to coast here in the United States and all the way around the world. I hope you are well today. And if you have your Bible nearby, please open it to Exodus chapter 3. That's Exodus 3. I will be reading from there and commenting on this great text soon. But before I do, let me remind you that when we last left off, we were discussing some questions that come up regarding the fact that God is simple. Divine simplicity raises questions for thinking people, and I attempted, by God's grace, to answer some of those and to do so succinctly. Therefore, it is important that you connect the last broadcast and podcast of God Is to this one. I will not repeat the answers, but here are the questions. Hopefully this will remind you where we are as we bring our discussion on simplicity to a conclusion. First question: how can an absolutely simple God have more than one attribute? Or are we saying that all God's many attributes are identical to one another? Second questions: how come we talk about God's many attributes, plural? And if God is simple, then how come our talk about God is not so simple? And the third question: doesn't the biblical teaching on the Trinity contradict this teaching on God being simple? If God is simple, then why is God Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Today I want to ask a fourth and final question, and this might take the form of a comment that you have had. At least, I can hear someone asking it. You have not been using the scripture, Swallow. Chapter and verse, please. Where in the Bible does it say God is simple? It is true, for the last few days we have not had scripture. And that is in part because the Bible nowhere says, quote, God is simple. There is no one verse that I can pass along to you in which you can say, ah, yes, there it is. I will write this down in my Bible, and whenever I think about God's simplicity, I will just quote this verse or verses. Divine simplicity is, rather, a true teaching that we derive from multiple other scriptures and doctrines. When we take all of the Bible together, when we take all that we believe about God together, we come to the logical conclusion that He is simple. That being said, there are some texts we can turn to, and I want to share one. To the question, can you give us Bible verses that talk about God being simple, I point you to Exodus chapter 3. I am going to read Exodus 3, part of verses 1 through 15, and then comment. I will not be giving a thorough verse-by-verse teaching, not at all, the reason being twofold. First, we have discussed this portion of Scripture in our series, The Name of God. If you have access to the internet, jump on our website and click the link marked The Name of God from our series page and listen. Our website is godisministry.org. That's godisministry.org. Second, I will not teach this text in depth because I want us to focus on two particular and awesome moments. I am reading Exodus 3, beginning in verse 1. Now Moses was pasturing the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Mount Horeb, the mountain of God. The angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing fire from the midst of a bush, and he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, yet the bush was not consumed. So Moses said, I must turn aside now and see this marvelous sight, why the bush is not burned up. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, Here I am. Then the Lord said, "Do not come near here. Remove your sandals from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground." He said also, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." Then Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Next, in verses 7 through 9, God tells Moses that he has heard the affliction of his people suffering as slaves in Egypt. God promises to deliver them and to bring them into the promised land. And in verses 10 through 12, God commands Moses to go to the Pharaoh of Egypt, the Lord promising to go with Moses. Well, let's pick up the reading again at verse 13. This is Exodus 3, verses 13 through 15. "Then Moses said to God, 'Behold, I am going to the sons of Israel, and I will say to them, The God of your fathers has sent me to you. Now they may say to me, What is his name? What shall I say to them?' And God said to Moses, 'I am who I am.' And he said, 'Thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, I am has sent me to you.' And God furthermore said to Moses, 'Thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial name to all generations.'" This passage mesmerizes us. Here, God reveals to Moses the Lord's compassion for his people suffering as slaves in Egypt. And here God calls Moses to lead his people out of Egypt. And please observe with me how God appears to the man Moses. In verse 2, we read this: "The angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing fire from the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, yet the bush was not consumed." Sinclair Ferguson, commenting on this, says, "God gives Moses, as it were, a space-time illustration in a burning bush. Moses faces the stark simplicity of God's being that cannot be analyzed further or described in terms other than God himself." Then Ferguson gives this key insight: the fire that was in the bush, present in the bush, but preserving the bush. The fire was in the bush, but was not dependent on the bush for its energy to burn. A fire that was independent of that on which all fire depends. A fire that was in the bush without burning up the bush. A most pure fire. A fire that was nothing but fire. A fire that was not a compound of other energy sources, but had its energy source in itself. As though God was saying to Moses, "You will not ever encounter another analogy to who I am. God cannot be described in any other terms." End quote. Think about it. What does a fire require in order to burn? It needs three things: oxygen, heat, and fuel. If any one of these three are removed, the fire will go out. But in this case, the fire is not dependent on the bush to burn. So then, where is this fire getting its fuel from? The bush itself is not ablaze, so the wood from the bush is not fueling the fire. The fire is self-sufficient. It needs nothing outside of itself to burn. Likewise, God is self-sufficient. He needs nothing and no one outside of himself to exist. We will see this in greater depth when we soon get to God's aseity. But here, grasp the fact that this fire is not a compound of other energy sources. Its energy source is itself. This is like God. The Lord cannot be described in terms other than God himself. God is saying to Moses, "I am this fire, not dependent on parts like oxygen, heat, and fuel to burn. I have no parts. I am simply burning by myself. Ferguson says God is not a compound of anything. God is not dependent on his attributes for his being. God simply is God. That's the illustration in verse 2. Now follow down to verses 13 and 14. Then Moses said to God, "Behold, I am going to the sons of Israel, and I will say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you.' Now they may say to me, 'What is his name?' What shall I say to them?" God said to Moses, "I am who I am." And he said, "Thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, 'I am has sent me to you.'" Having given the illustration, God then says, "I am who I am." God's name is simply I am. God cannot be described in any other terms. God is simply I am who I am. Ferguson emphasizes, God cannot be described in terms other than God himself. In God, there is nothing complex. Everything is gloriously simple. I am who I am. There is nothing we can provide by way of analogy to describe who God is in the very quintessence of his being. He simply is. Well, no wonder verse 6 says, Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. You know, in many ways, we are too complex to understand that God is simple. But he is. This one text, I think, helps us understand divine simplicity. I hope you will join us next time as we begin to learn that God is self-sufficient.
Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others, and be sure and join me for the next one.